Just for a few moments, we're going to reflect upon a very familiar passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, that is, the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat, privately, to a solitary place. Hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, in other words, they got there before he did, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, did you catch that? Jesus lost a close friend, in fact, a blood relative, John the Baptist, as he was beheaded. And Jesus withdrew. Can you imagine what was going on? There was grief there. There was sadness, perhaps mixed in with a little fear of where this was all going to lead. Withdrew to a solitary place. The people admired Jesus and wanted to hear what he had to say, so they followed him everywhere. Jesus was withdrawing to grieve alone, but the crowd gets there first. Jesus sees them, and what? He has compassion on them. Shifts the attention from himself and puts it upon them. As evening, when Jesus landed and saw the crowds, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, beside women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, what a blessing and what a lesson for us. It happened a long time ago, but similar things can happen in our lives today if we believe and we are willing. Open our hearts to see how this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The feeding of the 5,000, so important, so big, so amazing that all 4 of the gospel writers record the same story. What makes it so important? I want to propose to you this morning that one of the most important things in this story is not just the miracle itself. That's big enough. It's awesome. What I want to propose to us this morning is that you and I here today, living in the year 2018, we can bring the little bit that we might think we have. What does God want with my measly offering? He doesn't need it. What does God want with my measly gifts? I don't have any special gifts. Why should I even give them? What does God want with my personality? I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes person, a quiet person. I don't like any attention. What do I have to offer? We can bring Jesus what we have, just as the disciples did, thinking it wasn't enough. And something amazing can happen. Let's think about that for a few moments this morning. Let's give Jesus what we have for service to God and to others. Compassionate service is what following Jesus is all about. Now, you're in church this morning, and I'm glad that you are. That's a good thing. But this is not what following Jesus is all about. We should go to church. It's a good thing. But coming to church is not what following Jesus is all about. Following Jesus is about compassionate service. So we read in verses 14 through 16 that this crowd follows Jesus. He's feeling needs, but when he sees them, he feels for them. He sees their needs, and he shifts his attention from himself to them out of compassion. When we accept and follow Jesus Christ, we are called to compassionate service. Have you accepted and followed Jesus? I assume so. You are called, not just some of us, not just the preacher, not just the elders, not the Sunday school teachers only, not the youth group directors, not the people with the gifts, not the people with the money. All of us are called to compassionate service. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "Even I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." When we come to church, we come to receive. But that's not the end of it. You come and you receive today, but Jesus says to you now, you give. Whether it's something to eat, whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a card or a prayer, now you give. That's what following Jesus is all about. Let's give Jesus what we have and allow him to use us. In verse 17, we read that the disciples said in answer to Jesus' statement, "You give them something to eat." They said, "Well, we got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. No way. This can't do it. It's not enough. Way short." So they're telling Jesus, "Can't be done. No, doesn't work." What did Jesus say? "Bring it to me." There's the key. Bring it to me. And when they brought it to him, Jesus looked up into heaven. He gave thanks for what they brought to him. He broke it and passed it out. And what happened? Verses 20 and 21. Everyone ate. The people ate. The disciples ate. And everyone was satisfied. When we give Jesus what we have and offer it to him to use, he can do amazing things. Now, if we offer Jesus something because we say, "Oh, I can do that. I have the ability to do that. I have the gifts to do that. I can handle that. I can make that happen. So I'll do that. I can do it. I know I can. I've done it before." That's not the kind of service that receives God's blessing, God's empowerment. Because we can do it. We don't need God's power. I can do it. But when we bring something to Jesus and say, "I don't think this is enough. I don't think this is going to make a difference. I don't think, but I give it to you. Use it, Lord. Use me." That's when amazing things can start to happen. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3:20, where the Apostle Paul says, "Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all I ask or imagine, according to his power at work within me." That's the key. His power at work within me. Not my ability to make this happen. Not my ability to do this ministry. Not my ability to perform this service. Because I can do this. "But Lord, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is enough, but what I've got, I bring to you." Just this past Wednesday, I attended a fundraiser for Calvin Seminary. I did not go to Calvin Seminary, but I was asked by one of my nephews to come to this, and it was a trap, skeet, and sporting clays shoot, and they know that I like that kind of stuff, so they invited me to come along. Well, we had 100 rounds, 100 shots at different targets. Oh, man, you should see my shoulder. It's black and blue, my 12-gauge. I thought those low brass shells that they use on a skeet course would not kick as hard, but 100 kicks. One of the guys that we shot with on our team had a Benelli shotgun. Benelli shotgun is pretty good, semi-automatic, light. If you are any at all knowledgeable of Benelli shotguns, they used to have a spokesperson by the name of Tom Knapp. Tom Knapp had a deep bass voice, kind of a manly looking man, and he was a magician with a Benelli shotgun. He could take 8 clay pigeons, you know what those are, those little discs made out of clay. He could take 8 of them in his hand, hold his Benelli shotgun in the other hand, he could throw them up and shoot all 8 of them before they hit the ground. He was awesome with a shotgun. Now, give me that same Benelli shotgun? Me, Dave Brower? I would struggle maybe to hit 1. The Benelli shotgun isn't good because it's a good shotgun. It's only as good as the person who's using it. And the little gifts that we might think we have, or the little that we might think we have to offer, or the little service that we might think, this isn't going to make any difference. Yeah, if we offer it in our own strength, it might not. But if we give it to Jesus, Jesus, I want to serve, and this is what I've got. Can you use it? That attitude makes you a supernatural servant of Jesus Christ. Give Jesus what you have and allow him to use you. Give Jesus what you have and allow him to break you. Now, this isn't easy. None of this really is easy. But in verse 19, we read that when the disciples brought those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to Jesus, he gave thanks, and then he broke them up. He broke them up to disperse them to the people. When we give what we have to Jesus for service, we too must be willing to be broken. So we give what we have to offer to Jesus not with this attitude. Here, I think it should be used this way. Here, this is what I want to do with this. Here, this is when I want to do it. Not today, not tomorrow, but next year. Here, this is the gift I have, and I want to be able to be used, but I don't want it to be used in this way. I don't want it to be myself to be put in this situation. We're in control. We're telling the master what he should do with us. The way that Jesus can really use each one of us with whatever we give to him is to bring it to him and say, you use it your way. You use me however you wish. In your timing, here I am. Use me. Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifice that God uses and blesses is a broken and contrite heart. Not the person that says, do it my way, Lord, otherwise I'm not going to offer it at all. Many of you men and some of you women have been in the military. And when you first join the Army or the Air Force or whatever, you go through basic training. What's the very first thing you go through? Basic training, and what's one of the first things they do to you? I think, maybe they don't do this anymore. They shave your head. All your hair comes off. They take away your clothes. And it's not that you run around naked, but they give you the issue of clothes. Everybody's the same. No different hairdos, no different outfits. Everybody's treated the same. What's the point? They're breaking everybody down so that there's no hierarchy of the troops. Everyone's the same. Everyone's treated the same. Everyone dresses the same. Everyone looks the same. Everyone has the same orders. You've got to learn this lesson when you join the military. You submit to authority. There is a chain of command, and you find your niche, and that's where you belong. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are children of God, and it's an honored position, but we are servants. He is the master and the king. We must allow ourselves to be broken. It's not my way. It's not my timing. It's his. And if you're willing to do that, he'll use you in a powerful way, way beyond what you can imagine. Now, you might think, well, I don't want to be used that way. Okay, there it is. I'm not going to be broken. But the key to supernatural service is to offer what you have to God and others, to allow him to use you, and to allow yourself to be broken. And if you do that, satisfaction for you, guaranteed. Read in our passage of Scripture, they all ate and were satisfied. What do you want out of your Christian life? I think all of us want satisfaction. Now, you might define satisfaction in different ways, but we all want satisfaction in our Christian walk. We want joy. We want peace. We want love. The fruits of the Spirit. We all want those. What does God want for us? He says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. I want you to be living a life in which you are fully satisfied, secure. Satisfaction doesn't always come with a bed of roses. Satisfaction often comes with facing challenges, and you think, I'll never make it through this. But you do. I saw Lori when I shared this morning that she had come through serious surgery, no side effects, complete recovery. I saw her go like this. She's given thanks and praise to God. Their satisfaction wasn't easy. I wouldn't want to go through what she went through. But satisfaction. Friends, when we give Jesus what we have in his service, allowing him to use us as he wants, allowing ourselves to be broken, there will be complete satisfaction. Let me read for you what it says in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in your land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Albert Schweitzer, the 17th century missionary to Africa, kind of the man that broke the ground into Africa. Africa was the dark continent. Albert Schweitzer, a doctor, went there to serve in the name of Jesus. And he said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I do know, the only ones among you who will be happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Friends, the disciples only had 5 loaves and 2 small fish, but they gave what they had. And look what happened. Give Jesus what you have. Don't hold it back because you think it's not enough. You may think you don't have enough to offer. You may think you have little to offer. Others may think you have little to offer. But when you give it to Jesus for his use, amazing things can happen. Give Jesus what you have. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for being willing to use ordinary people, like those fishermen disciples, like that tax collector, Matthew, like that young woman who weighed barely 100 pounds, born in Yugoslavia to unknown parents, who became Mother Teresa because she too gave you what she had to offer. Lord, may there be someone in the sanctuary this morning who takes this to heart, many. And in the coming days and weeks, they offer you with sincerity and humility what they have, and they don't think it's much. And I pray that you will use them and use it in ways far beyond they ever would have imagined. And we and they together will give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.